Well, hello there, and welcome to this webinar that we're doing on burnout. And with us today, we have Dr. Iverna Tompkins, who has not only experienced burnout, but has helped many people through the process, yes, who has lots of keys into this, and also our own Shirley Seeger, who is the CEO and creator of xpmedia.com, and who has also had some experience in burnout, personal experience in burnout. And me too, I've had some experience in burnout. But you know, we are in a very serious day and hour, all joking aside, where many, many people are experiencing burnout. In fact, in this particular hour that we're living in, we're seeing even many leaders of great stature falling, failing morally. Could it be that burnout might be some of the contributing factors to things like that? So we're going to discuss that in this little circle that we have going here today so that we can share with our viewers. So Dr. Iverna, let's start with you, because you've experienced burnout, but you didn't know, and we were discussing this earlier, is that if you're experiencing burnout, especially for the first time, most of the time you don't realize you are.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. So share with us your own experience in that.
Well, you don't know it, especially if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you're in Christian service. That Holy Spirit just rises to every need. Just like when Moses didn't obey God and speak to the rock, he struck it. But water still came out, because that's what the Lord does. He feeds his people. And so when that continues to flow, that anointing rises up, you think, I'm doing exactly what God wants. And then you have a little downtime and you change your clothes and you come back and you say, I'm doing what God wants. And that anointing ignites the adrenaline within you. And you think that the adrenaline rush is the anointing. And if there's no discernment, you'll just keep driving yourself and driving yourself. And the other motivation, sadly, the Lord showed me, is pride. Because I think I can do it better than anyone else. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and so I just get in the flow and keep it going. And, oh, you do so well. Yay, do it. And people will let you.
Wow.
People will let you.
Yes. Share with us your own story about burnout, because you actually had an official burnout.
Yes, I did, and I had great warnings from the Lord before that, and I had warnings from my doctor, and then one day it just hit. It hit like a flu. I thought I had the flu. I had chills, and I was weak. It wasn't vomiting and that, but it was just, I just gave up, and then I went to bed, and that was the end of it. I just crashed. I didn't want to read. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to watch television. It wasn't a sabbatical. It was too late. I'd gone 40 years traveling.
Wow.
From place to place, and I would be out sometimes 6 weeks at a time before I came home. It was crazy, but I was needed. Mm-hmm. And because I was needed, that met a lot of needs in me, and so I just kept going. When I crashed, my doctor said to me, who is also my daughter, you won't get well until you just get over it.
Right.
And it was weeks. I laid there I laid in bed for a month. And then I got up and was around the house. But I didn't want to do anything. And as far as I was concerned, I would never go back to ministry.
Yeah. And that's like when you're in burnout,
yeah,
it's like you can't think, you can't, yeah, you know, nothing. You're not motivated, you don't care, like when it finally hits you.
Yeah.
I experienced a burnout in 1990. We'd been in the mission field, living down in Mexico for a number of years, serving the poor, and I loved it, you know, because a lot of times people think burnout comes when you're doing things you don't want to do, or,
yeah,
you know, negative stress, but not necessarily.
No.
Sometimes it's just too much. Just too much of a,
uh-huh,
good thing, where your adrenals, which is the gland in your body that God created to produce adrenaline,
right,
which is your fight and flight hormone.
Yeah.
So it kicks in the midst of crisis. But we're not supposed to live in crisis like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to have a breathing space from it. We were living in crisis pretty much, because we were in Mexico. It was a brand new work. We were going early in the morning, late at night. Everything was busy all the time. And I didn't actually know I was in burnout. I was feeling I was doing fine, but I started feeling tired. Some mornings I didn't want to get up. And I'm a morning person, so I always bounce out of bed. But I didn't want to get up. I wanted to sleep longer, but I couldn't sleep longer. And it started like that, just little signs like that. Finally, I had a period of time. I thought, I think I should maybe take some time off. So I went back to Canada. I was going to take some time off, you know, refresh for a month. But when I settled all the issues, got everything organized, and went to take my time off, that's when I crashed and burned. Mm-hmm. I was the same as what you just described. I fell into bed. I didn't want to get up. I couldn't even think about making my own family a meal. That was too much. The phone was ringing and people were saying, what's the matter with you? The Lord's showing me this. I could have cared less what the Lord was showing at that point. I didn't care what the Lord was trying to show.
What do you think you disconnected from?
It was my body was shut down. My body completely shut down. And you know what? I think the Lord lets that happen so that we will wake up and smell the coffee and get healed. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, you know, this is going to take a little bit of time for you to recover. But if you will just rest, that's all your body needs right now is a little bit of rest. Your body will heal, but give it some rest. And after a couple of months, you'll wake up one morning and feel, oh, it's a brand new day. Things are fine again. And that's exactly what happened. I rested for 3 months, actually. It took me about 3 months, but I did wake up that morning. I thought, oh, I feel good. But my leaders told me to take 1 year off, and I did. I listened to them, and I got refreshed. The thing that I know now, though, is I know the symptoms. And I felt them come on from time to time. But when I feel them come on, I know it's time to pull back. You can't just keep pushing yourself. You have to pull back.
Yeah, and I represent the person, maybe some of you, who is actually in burnout. Because I am discovering that I myself, I'm in burnout. So I'm sitting here with these two generals, and I'm just going to present my point of view and how I was led into the knowledge of being in burnout. Was basically, you know, I run XP Media with all my heart, and I'm not going to get emotional, but
for year after year after year after year.
Yeah. And I started losing my joy in it. I noticed that when we first started, I cared about every single solitary person's experience with the site. And I mean, I would stay up at midnight and answer emails myself, and then figure out and make list after list after list of trying to how we can fix it and how we can make it better. And then then that starts to go, and you start to, you know, you don't care anymore. It's like, oh, I don't care. I don't care if they, I don't answer the emails. I don't care. And then I noticed that I never, ever spoke evil or negative about anything. It was always like, oh, well, we can do this. We can fix this. And then I started making derogatory remarks and calling it and to people. And then I lost my joy. I lost my I lost my focus, and then I started blaming it on the physical. You know, well, you just got to get in shape. So my husband and I started going on 22-mile bike rides, and okay, well, it's just because I'm not in shape enough, and then you know, it's like then it just it hits you once in a while. You'll just break down crying. You don't know why. You're having argument after argument with the Lord. Hello. I mean, I talk to him like I talk to my friends, and I argue with him sometimes. It's like, well, I don't understand this. Can you make it a little clearer? But I was just like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And it was astounding when we taped the show today because you said something about pride. You said one of the reasons why you don't, you know, allow other people to do it is because you think you can do it better or because it will take too much time. You know, you get to the point where every single solitary minute of your day is allotted to something and it better not waste my time. And you start to lose your temper and you start to get cranky and your husband starts to complain. And then, so I am in full burnout. And I think they asked me to come in and sit in on this webinar because I think I represent a lot of you out there. And I really think that there's a lot of solutions. Even this morning before I came in to tape this show with these incredible women, I prayed to the Lord and I said, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. You'll start talking to yourself. I just want to die, Lord. I've had enough. I'm done. And all of these critical voices start saying, oh, you're a failure. You ran it into the ground and all these things. So I am going to sit here under their mentorship and their leadership. And I think that you will get a lot out of this as well, because we're going to talk about steps and how to recognize it when you're in yourself. And really, I think even this morning, I was in prayer with the Lord, and he said, I never put that on you. I never put that burden on you. You put it on yourself, because you, just like you said, the Superman suit, oh yeah, I can do it all. I can do this. I can do that. I need to do this. And the Lord said, take it off. I want you to take it off. And when I did take it off, I walked in this morning with light. You know, it's not like I didn't care. I just knew it was in good hands, a lot better hands than my own. And I knew that the Lord was not going to let it die. And it's like, wow, you know, when you can just say, okay, he's in control.
Come on.
So anyway, that's one of the reasons why I'm sitting here and not in the booth. And
there's so many contributing factors, because there's like the network, which is huge. I mean, it's, you carry it like your own child 24/7. But then there's like demands from other areas mm-hmm. of your life, you know, like family and you know, when family members, you know, are fighting sickness or something, and you have to help and help problems, you know, mm-hmm. get solved, because you're a very responsible person. And sometimes we just have to put all that responsibility onto the Lord. And, you know, I just feel like there's someone weeping with, Shirley was sharing her story. I felt myself like crying. And the Lord said, you're picking up on someone that's watching this program right now that just cannot believe that Shirley is being as candid as she is. And I think he had Shirley be candid and honest about where she's at right now for you, because you are caring so much. And as Shirley was sharing what she was sharing, you're saying, that's exactly how I feel. But I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to release it. I don't know how to let go. I don't know how to get rid of the pressure. But you're saying, hello, I just had that same talk with the Lord myself. Hello, I just feel like I have no more joy, no more interest anymore either, and I don't even care anymore. That's how you're feeling. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I just speak grace over you. But we're doing this webinar today because God has ordained it, and he has an answer for you, and his grace is available, and his healing is available. When I was in burnout, I didn't think I was ever going to come out of it, and I didn't even care. Mm-mm. I didn't, honestly didn't even care. Yeah. But I did come out of it, and I came out refreshed. And you are going to come out refreshed. I'm more alive today than I've ever been in my entire life, you know. And I'm in later years than I was when I first burned out. But I'm vibrant, and I'm full of life today. And you will be. You've got it tomorrow. But right now, God just wants to hold you in his arms. He wants to cuddle you. He wants to carry everything that's heavy for you. He wants to look after you and not have you bear those burdens that you've been bearing. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, just receive that touch. Let him cuddle you even right now as you're watching this program. So that word is for someone in particular watching right now. Thank you, Shirley. Wow. That was vulnerable. And so what are you going to do about your situation?
Well, you know, it's there's steps to take. I have I've started actually reading my marketing director's book on burnout, and she lays out a, like a 30-day reading, and then a little task that you do. And it's, I think, becoming aware of what burnout is, mm-hmm. first of all, and recognizing it in yourself. And then, you know, letting it go and delegating. And it's a step-by-step process. You know, because some of you, you know, we can't all just, you know, drop it and say, oh, well, I'm going to take 3 or 4 months off. Right. You know, you got to continue on. But I think what you ladies talked about in the show was boundaries. Yeah. And I think that's what happens, is that your boundaries get, you allow your boundaries to get violated. Mm-hmm. You start taking on burdens that are not yours to carry. And I think even in your current condition, you have to learn, and that's what I wanted to sort of talk to you and get your input on, and these ladies have some really good input, on the steps you take when you find yourself right there now, but you cannot just leave. Like, where would they start? And I know that I will start just simply by recognizing it first and foremost that you're in burnout, and then getting resources from people that have been through it before, and then actually having the discipline to take the steps to repair it. And, you know, there's a lot of good resources out there. But, I mean, if you guys can just share with us, just like, if you could start with just, the Lord says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Okay. If you can talk about your input on how to recognize what a light burden.
Well, I said to him when I read that, it was, mine isn't. And that was a revelation even in itself. Mm-hmm. Well, then you're not carrying mine.
Oh, wow, that's really so good.
I was reading in Scripture the law, you know, over and over and over, he'd say, I am the Lord thy God. Do the da-da-da, da-da-da. I am the Lord thy God. Da-da-da-da. I am the... And this, it's repeated over and over in this book. And I said, why do you keep saying, I am the Lord thy God? And he said, add these four words, and ye are not. See, when we pick up a load that isn't what he ordained, we're really becoming God instead. Some years ago, I was counseling a couple. They came in for counsel, and they had everything negative, everything. I mean, the marriage was a mess. The finances were a mess. The kids were a mess. They didn't have a everything was negative. And it was so overwhelming, I didn't have an answer for them. And so I did what a wise counselor would do. I said, oh, I see our time is up. And let's set another appointment. I did, honestly. And so I set another appointment. When they went out, I just laid my head on the desk. And I said, I don't know what to say to them. And the Lord said, look. And I lifted my head, and across my office wall, I saw a camel. It was walking very slowly, and it was laden down like you see an Arabian camel, just full, just stuff everywhere, down the sides and on the top and so on. And it walked slowly over, and when it got right in the middle of my sight, it stopped, and I saw a hand, the four legs went out from under it. It was just like it just couldn't make it. And I knew this represented that couple, and I wanted to say, so? And then I saw a hand come over the top of the load from the back and take off a tiny straw.
Wow. Oh, wow. The straw that broke the camel's back.
And the camel stood up.
Wow.
And the Lord said, they can carry their load if they find the straw.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, that is so awesome.
I don't know about you, but that went ding, 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 ding. Wow. Oh. You know, does this apply to you right now? Is there just that extra straw? Look at even everything that you're doing, the things that empower you, the things that drain you. Mm-hmm. What is your straw? Mm-hmm. What is your straw? You know, and so often I think that, you know, that we feel, well, I can't really do much about this because what would people think, or the family might not understand, and it would be easier to just go along with it and stress myself out than have a bad reaction. So we think through stuff like that, right?
Certainly.
And yet, that could be the very straw that broke the camel's back.
It's
and it's like sometimes I think you know, you just have to say, who cares what people think? And leave them to think it, you know, because I remember when I was in burnout, that was one of the first things that came to me. People were on the phone and they were going yada, 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 you know, about all the you know, that the reason why I wasn't, you know, full of energy was because of this, this and that, and I should do this, this and that. And I'm thinking, whatever, I was holding the phone out like this. I thought, I don't really care what you think. Yeah. I don't care if you think I'm in sin. I don't care what you think. And I would hang up the phone even, because when you're burned out, you don't care. But if you can get there, just before you get that low, if you can find that straw, it'll really help. And that actually might help you.
Well, yeah, just removing that. I mean, if you actually just pray, and which is what I'll do, and ask him what is a straw. Yeah. I mean, even the need to want to please other people, you can actually lose your own vision and your own calling in life, trying to fulfill what other people want you to be and do. And boy, that is a great place to start, is that straw and a revelation of what it is, one at a time.
Wow.
Take them one at a time off.
Right.
Like, that is so awesome.
You can carry your load.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And also what you just said that might also help some of our viewers right now is, you know, where are you when it comes to you? Like, who are you in your own heart? What do you love to do? What is your purpose in life? What do you know God has called you to do? Or are you living to please another? Now, it's fine to want to be a blessing to others, but when you're driven to please another person, to fulfill their expectation of you or their vision, that can really cause burnout. That's because then you lose yourself.
Right, and it's an unconquerable battle.
Right,
is no grace on it, yeah. And then it leads to confusion, which leads to more stress, which leads to more burnout, and then, you know, you just don't even know why you're doing what you're doing. So, yeah, that is really awesome. So it's people's thoughts it could be just something as little as that, isn't it? So small.
I've experienced it many times.
So how did you find it? How did you find the one straw?
You know, there's kind of a slang expression, back up the truck.
Uh-huh.
Start where you are, and I when you get to the point where you cross, that's the way my expression comes, and I don't like anyone or anything, and these cups aren't right, and nothing's right. When I get there, I know, uh-oh, I'm on overload. Where wasn't I? Back up the truck to the last point of joy. What happened between there and here?
Mm-hmm.
That's your straw.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Why did it happen so long ago? You don't know.
You'll know.
Like the joy stealer. Sort of thing. What stole the joy?
Yes.
Wow.
What did I pick up that
now,
I shouldn't?
Dr. Iverna, what about the difference between we know, and I'm not a person that likes to talk a lot about or focus a lot about, oh, the devil did this or the devil's warfare, because I believe that we walk in the light as he is in the light. Okay. I don't like to give him much attention, but the truth is that when you are given an assignment by God, just like Jesus coming into the earth right away, you know, Herod tries to kill him, okay, and then they have to escape over to Egypt and stuff like that. So, I mean, walking in a call, it definitely has its resistance to it. Yes. I'm thinking of some friends of mine right now that are definitely called by God. Their election is in God, but they, for like 20 years, have been just burning the candle at both ends, carrying a lot of extreme pressure financially and responsibility in the ministry and things like that. So just recently, there's been a crash and burn type situation. But a lot of that is also identifying, I think, warfare realms, right? Because, like, you live with this pressure. And I know in media, for example, and you're in media, we've talked about this before, and I think both of us agree that when we entered into Christian media, because we started together, because Shirley actually was a founder of our entire vision for Christian media. God used her to birth.
Wonderful.
We are doing Christian media today because of God's calling on Shirley. And she had felt the call to do media for the Lord before we ever met. But then God blessed us with bringing her to walk with us in this journey, and she has been my greatest encourager, and I want to thank you for that. But we both realized right away when we started working on it, and she'd been in media forever, like 22 years in Hollywood, mm-hmm. but when she stepped into Christian media, she faced battle she never felt before.
This is hard.
Yeah, and so we know, and we just talked before we came on the air today, is that, I mean, I work with anti-trafficking. Our whole ministry does. Shirley's been over with me over to Cambodia. We've done filming over there and stuff like that. But the warfare for anti-trafficking itself is nothing in comparison to the warfare on media. Mm-hmm. So, like, how do we stay in a battle that has so much pressure? And I want to be careful because there's grace to do what you do. But at the same time, we are very aware of a 24/7 ongoing battle. And so, like, with Shirley being the CEO, founder, creator of an entire network that is releasing media worldwide 24/7, I know the devil can't stand her. So there's some things going on emotionally in her, mm-hmm. Obviously. I mean, you can only carry so much in your human body. Something's going on physically in her, and something's going on spiritually. So how do you identify the straw, so to speak, mm-hmm. on those different levels? And how do you get through the spiritual pressure when you are feeling that you're in burnout?
You have to, number one, you have to have people. You mm-hmm. have to have people. And you have to trust people. And that is so hard for anyone that is type A. It's just hard to trust mm-hmm. others. We have to up the intercession. Mm-hmm. Anytime we move into a new realm, spiritually, we move into a new realm with the evil spirit as well. Mm-hmm. And you're battling the prince of the power of the air. So we need more intercessors than you've ever had. Really understanding this, and your friends that you spoke of, I'd like to know how many real intercessors they had. If the Lord himself could come on the scene and say, the Lord looked to see if there was someone standing in the gap and found there was no one.
Well, on that level especially.
See?
Wow.
We've got
That's
to
insightful.
Find people that know what that is. Mm-hmm. It isn't necessarily more hours spent in prayer, but it is coming into a relationship with him that is high enough that we say, oh, no, you're not touching her. No more, this far, mm-hmm. and no more. I can speak boldly because I saw my angel, and it was big. And that's just one little angel in God's sight. But now I know how little I am, mm-hmm. and I compared to that. And when I started, years ago, when I started a training center for pastors, you want to talk about war. And I knew instantly that I had to do something with intercession first. And so I appointed people that wanted to be involved and trained them how mm-hmm. to pray
on that level.
On that level mm-hmm. to combat mm-hmm. that thing. And so that wow. then you can just be the front person, hand you a microphone and you go. But behind you, there have to be powerful
wow.
people. Mm-hmm. And behind you, there have to be intercessors that know how to touch God. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to pray. Yes, but you can't do everything. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. And you will either learn it one way or another. That's all. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's easier to do it yourself. Every mother knows that. It's easier to do it yourself than teach your kids to cook. But you uh-huh. can't. You may not. Mm-hmm. So we back up the truck. We realize here it was fun, here it's not fun. Mm-hmm. Here it was successful, here it's beginning to fail. Here it was, and here it is. I'm making it very simple, and I know it isn't because I've lived it. But you fill in that gap. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people, honestly, take time off during their sabbatical. And they come back just as messed up as they were when they went. Because it didn't fix it. Mm-hmm. You could go away and get fine in 3 months. Go to Hawaii and, you know, just get fine. But it wouldn't
take... Is that a word from the Lord? We were praying.
Prophesied.
It wouldn't take you 2 weeks to be back in the saddle.
Right. That is a good point.
You know, and that brought this idea to me is, I think the expectation of the final end is sometimes it needs a little bit of adjustment. Mm-hmm. Because if I back it up and I think about going back to that place where I was in total joy, I know how many times the Lord has had a conversation with me and shifted me out of my expectations. So I put a target, like, that's where I want to be. Uh-huh. And that's what I want to be doing, and that's what I want to be producing. And he shifted that several times. I literally have had to let that go. That's not what he wanted you to do. Now, then he shifted over here. That's not what he wanted you to do. Because my own pride and my own steering, a lot of my experience in Hollywood, has said, well, it's got to be like this. And the Lord says, no, it doesn't have to be like that. And he's, like, several times, and that shifting, going back, like you said, when I do that, I go back to the place where I got clear vision on it, and mm-hmm. I've steered off of it. But the expectation of the final end, I think, is something that everyone needs to really to examine.
Right, because hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Sick.
So
yes.
If you have a certain expectation and you're not living in that yet,
yes.
Then it's self-condemning.
Yes, and if you really have to examine what the expectation is. Mm-hmm. Is it a good expectation?
Is it a God expectation?
Is it a God expectation? Is it pride? Is it pride? You know, and
so
he
good,
stripped
Shirley.
Me of so much pride. And walking with her has been an amazing stripping. Remember the walk that we went on that one?
Lots of walks.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna tell you guys this one. We went on a walk, I think it was six months or so, maybe a year. I've been working with her. And we went on a walk, and coming out of Hollywood, you have this, you better know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, you fake it and then go Google it out and figure it out. Then you come back and then you present how much you know, but you never ever say you don't know. Mm-hmm. So I was constantly walking in this, like, I know everything, and, you know, and then, you know, I hope they don't know. So she says, let's go on a walk. So we go on a walk, and I've been doing everything, you know, putting everything in place, not hiring, just like you said, not trusting anyone. I'll do this, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. And she walks me and she goes, you know, I've noticed that you really don't know what you should know. And it just stopped me in the dark. She goes, you're not the best producer for this job. And, I mean, talk about, like, I just went like, oh, my gosh, I'm totally uncovered. She's totally busted me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if I had more money and I'm not used to doing it all myself. And I just go on and on and on about all my excuses. And she just sits there and smiles and laughs and lets me have my little tantrum. And then she goes, are you done? And I said, yeah. And she said, okay, this is what I was trying to tell you. You're not the best. You're not here because you're the best producer. You have the most experience and you're just going to wow the world with who you are. You're here because God called you here. This is what God has called you to do. You don't have to circle around and be territorial about protecting your space. This is what God has called you to do.
If God put you there, no one can take
it
out.
Right. If God put you there, nobody's going to take it away. So we go to a shoot that day, and I walked in, and the guy comes up to me, and he goes, would you like me to help you set up the tripod and the sound? And normally I would have said, no, I got it. But I said, please, because I have no idea what the buttons on the camera are. You know that I've been faking this my whole time. Can you tell me how to turn the camera on? You know?
And she was set free. I was happy.
I was completely set free. And then the help and the assistance just poured in.
Good.
And it was joyful.
Yes.
Once again. So that was an interesting walk with Patricia King. Speaking of which, but
you've been such an amazing friend. I love you so much. I'd like to be a little bit candid, if it's okay with you. And even if it's not, I'm going to be
candid. It's like, doesn't matter. Okay. Go ahead.
But, you know, another thing that many of you deal with in your burnout is, especially in this hour, is financial pressures. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that with, you know, Shirley, with what you've been carrying of a network, I mean, when we started the network, we put all of our own, I mean, all the money we had into it, just joyfully, you know, put it on there. You're excited about it. We found some Christian friends who were also excited about being willing to, just for kingdom purposes. We even said, yeah, if it never comes back, it doesn't come back, but at least we get to do something for the King, something beautiful, right? And which was great in the beginning. But then after 7 or 8 years, mm-hmm. when you're still pushing, and the finance isn't coming in, and I'm just going to be honest, is that it's a little bit off track, but I want you to hear it from my heart, is that a lot of times with Christian media, you get a lot of negative reports, such as, well, why should we have to pay for anything? Oh, it should all be free. Why this? Why that? And sometimes when I hear those comments, it breaks my heart, especially when I know how much we've sacrificed, laid everything down so that we could reach the nations. And surely, especially with a network, not only has laid down all of her finances to put into it, but her time. What is that? The first 6 years, we never took anything, not mm-hmm. a penny. And now you're taking some very minimal, mm-hmm. Just because it wasn't supported. It wasn't, you know, the body didn't support it. Even now we're asking, oh, could some people maybe have a premium subscription of $14 or $9.99 a month? Because if we had as many people as watch the network, if they would each do that, then it would just cover everything and she could hire someone. But the thing is, the mentality is, no, I just want it for nothing. If I can't get it for nothing, I don't want it. And so you've got this major call of God to distribute media, and it was your vision, it was your baby, it was your creative idea. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's beautiful. And it is, like, everywhere I go, yes. around the world, I hear people say how they've been feasting on XP Media. But I think a lot of what you are dealing in burnout is what many of our viewers are dealing with, is financial pressure. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you are a woman of faith. And so every month, you're in faith. I watch you every month. We're all believing by faith. And the Lord meets the bills. But it's because you sacrifice your time. It's because you work from 6 in the morning until midnight every night, 7 days a week, and not hiring the extra help because the money isn't there. You think, well, maybe next month it'll be there. Maybe next month it'll mm-hmm. be there. But you just do whatever it takes to make it happen. And I don't know what your situation is out there. Like, maybe you've got a similar situation, and there just has to be a resolve for it. And, you know, I just want to say on the side for my friend Shirley, is that if you do enjoy XP Media, and if you're watching this right now, you're on XP Media. But if you're enjoying what we are able to give you to offer, please do not begrudge like a $9.99 a month or whatever. And I know some of you don't have those funds. I recognize that. But even anything, you know, she even has an opportunity for you to just donate something just every now and then. It helps. But it's like, those things contribute to burnout. And I know that this is a little bit off topic, but I wanted to say it because I believe a lot of you that are maybe getting stressed is because of financial issues. So there are some things you can do about that. Some of you can. Is that sometimes we live beyond our means. So what takes the pressure off is, like, just downsize a little bit so that you can have a lot of the pressure lifted off, you know, instead of maybe, you know, going out for dinner, you know, once a week, stay home and cook rice or something. I don't know, but there are ways that you can take some of that burden off. Try to take some of it off as much as you can, okay? And then we love believing God for great things, and I'm just so grateful for the Lord's provision. I don't want to give anyone a wrong perspective on this because He has been so good to the ministry mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to the network. But it's always a step of faith. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is a step of faith. I mean, it's not like we have deep pockets in the natural, but we have depth in the Lord where mm-hmm. He provides, and He does. But I would like to see some pressure, you know, lifted off of you in that area. And I'm going to ask, I'm asking you to sow into xpmedia.com by becoming a monthly partner. You know, if we had, you know, just just a few more partners, you know, of $9.99 a month on premium subscription, it would just help her get that the extra personnel that she needs. And that's not what this was about. In fact, no. I'll be honest with you. When we came on the set to do the webinar, it was Dr. Iverna and myself, and then Shirley came to give us some instruction on the webinar, and I said, hey, Shirley, I think that you should be in this. So she came out of the booth on here, not sure. even prepared for anything. So this is probably one of our most spontaneous webinars we have ever done, but mm-hmm. it feels so God.
Yeah, it's funny because maybe you all can relate to this, is that asking for help is a humble thing, and it's hard to ask for help. But, you know, I think that's what the Lord wants us to be, and we can't, you know, going back to the same thing we talked about before, is you can't do it all yourself, mm-hmm. and it's hard. But ask yourself, why is it hard? Why is it hard for me to just ask for help or just to admit I can't do all of this by myself? I need a little bit of help. And, you know, examine that straw.
And especially with you, because, you know, you're such a competent person in many areas. Like, mm-hmm. there's almost like nothing you can't do, right? And so you just are doing it, and people get used to seeing you do it. And so they don't even know you maybe need the help that you need, because mm-hmm. you're not a person that lets everyone know, you know, what you need in any area. You're just a competent person that, you know, has been looking after so many other people along the way, including in your family and stuff. And so people don't think, oh, I wonder if Shirley needs some help, you know?
You know, along that line, can we talk about how to recognize it in other people? Like, you know, I'm dealing with how to recognize it in myself. But how do you recognize it when you see someone around you that is in burnout? I mean, what are some of the signs that you noticed? Like, you warned me about this about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. What were some of the signs? And you can tell them anything.
Well, the signs were mainly visible. I'm not going to super spiritualize anything. I'm not going to say, oh, the Lord gave me three dreams and a vision that Shirley was going into burnout. Okay, it wasn't like that. I know, say, you look tired. As simple as that, mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're a healthy person. I know that you eat healthy. I know that you get your exercise. And I thought, I don't know why Shirley is so tired. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that there was a lot of pressure over a long period of time, over, like, let's say this last year in particular, maybe the year before even, there was building pressure. And there was demands on you coming from many different areas, not only in your ministry, but also in your personal life. There was just demands from different directions mm-hmm. on you, expectations and, you know, solutions that you were expected to come up with for, you know, issues with friends and family and stuff like that. And I thought, whoa, you know, you just can't keep carrying this mm-hmm. for long. And then I noticed that you were getting agitated and little cynical remarks were coming out of your mouth. I thought, oh, that's not Shirley. Mm-hmm. That's not my Shirley, you know. And so there are just little telltale signs. And I think that, you know, if you've got a friend that you're close to or a family member and you notice those little kind of changes and you think, they're waking up tired. They're going to bed tired. They're grumpy. They're you know, they've got extra load on them. Like, those are, I think, the telltale signs. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we do, of course, get discernment from the Lord. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to say the Lord didn't warn me. He did tell me some things that you needed. Mm-hmm. But primarily, the first telltale signs were totally in the natural.
So when you were going into burnout, mm-hmm. could anyone tell you?
No, because I was traveling. I just kept going. Uh-huh. You know, you end a service here, and then you change clothes, and you get on a plane and go to the next service, and you come out and you fake it. Mm-hmm. You don't fake the anointing, but you fake that you're up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And you know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't see it. Uh-huh. It's your family that sees it. It's the people that are with you. So every time I'd come home, you know, I would get warnings there. But I see it in church mm-hmm. because that's my life. All my life has been church. And I see people that are overworked, whether they're at the camera, it doesn't matter what they're doing. And they begin to find fault with things. As you said, I don't have the equipment. And this church doesn't do it like that. And if they were, and if we only, and the pastor doesn't have a vision. And that's a real sign of burnout. Mm-hmm. Because when they first started, they were just thrilled to be a part
right.
of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a real sign. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes yeah. that can be a sign that the grace is lifting and it's time to do something different too, right?
Yes, it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but lots of people run too mm-hmm. when that would have been a great growth period.
Right, exactly.
But I just warn you, if you're a runner, you're going to meet the same thing the next place.
Yep. Dr. Yep. Iverna, you mentioned something about when you were on the road, you would go in and you would speak. And, of course, the anointing empowers you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
when you're under the anointing, mm-hmm. I mean, everything's easy. But then when you come out of that anointing,
Correct.
You're left with yourself again,
right.
you know. And so, but you said that you could cover that up, basically, mm-hmm. because you were on the road. I have a word for some itinerant minister that is watching, and I'm just going to speak this out of my own knowing myself, is that I'm a morning person, so I usually wake up around 5 in the morning, sometimes a little before, sometimes a little after, but around 5, and I just jump, I leap out of bed, okay, I just love the mornings. I'm not a night person. Usually around 9:30 at night, yeah. my body shuts down. When I go out to minister at meetings, as you know, a lot of times the meetings will end around 9:30 or 10, which is fine for me, if I can go back to my room and
right.
go to sleep. But some ministries, they want you to stay there and pray for the last person till 1 in the morning.
Right.
And sometimes they want you to go to the green room after, and then, mm-hmm. and then, and then.
Yes.
And I've discovered that if you do set your boundaries sometimes, they're like, well, no, we want you here for the whole time. And I find that really mm-hmm. uncomfortable to mm-hmm. say no to a person's expectation. But I've had to learn how to say no. How to say, you know what, I cannot do early morning and late night. I can't do it, you know. And so if you want every person prayed for until 1 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have a prayer team to do
there
it because
go.
I can't do it, okay? And it's okay to disappoint them,
mm-hmm.
you know. It really is because
yes.
the bottom line is if they don't like that, they don't have to invite you for the next time,
that's
you know.
That's exactly right.
But, and that's okay too, okay,
mm-hmm.
because you first have to serve the Lord, you know. And he made you who you are. And I just want to pray for that person. I know I'm addressing this with someone because you've been working so hard and you're wanting to please the people that you're ministering to, but you are burned out pretty bad mm-hmm. right now. And Father, I just pray for that minister right now. And
mm-hmm.
I ask, Lord, that you would mm-hmm. just touch their body, that you would touch their life, that you would give them rest. And above all, Father, that you would give them the ability to say no when they need to say no, that they would be able to graciously find a solution that gives them their exit in Jesus' name. But right now, Lord, I just feel like they need 3 weeks of not answering emails, of telephone, of just resting in you, soaking to some worship
mm-hmm.
music. And I feel like this is a word of knowledge for someone, that if you would take the next 3 weeks, just be out of commission, so to speak, but be in the Lord's presence. You'll be like a new person after that, and you'll get your strength back. And don't worry about the ramifications. God will take care of it. He can work it all out, okay?
You know, I want to add something to that, is certain personality types really are affected by what they think that other people
mm-hmm.
think about them. And sometimes you might need to make a decision, like she said, and you know you'll disappoint them. But then when you think ahead and you think about now I have to go home, and the burden of having disappointed them is going to be heavier than it would have been if I just went ahead and let them cross the boundary. And, you know, really need to address that. And I know that was a big lesson for me, is just say, you know, it's not my problem what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told me, I don't know who it was, but somebody told me, most of the time we all think, oh my gosh, they're thinking this of me and they're thinking that of me. But really, I mean, my husband says this to me all the time, dial it down about 90% and you'll hit reality, you know? And people really don't think that deeply about you. And
the bottom line is, really, who cares?
Well, see, that's easy for you. It's easy for you because you are so, you know, confident and sure of yourself. But for some people who are a little bit more insecure, it's difficult because they just beat themselves up. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, it's an inner voice, a critical inner mm-hmm. voice that you just need to silence. And you can silence it by saying, that is not of the Lord. That is not, I'm not listening to that. I made a decision that was healthy for me, and I'm sorry that they are disappointed, mm-hmm. but there's nothing I can do about that. And you know what? I noticed that the more I did that, particularly with a couple people in my life, the more I noticed that they started recognizing my boundary, and they actually, instead of losing respect for me, they actually gained respect for me. And so I encourage you in that mm-hmm. aspect as well. So
yeah, and if you can even practice thinking in your mind, who really cares? That's their opinion. Even they might keep the opinion. They might actually have that opinion. Mm-hmm. But the worst case scenario is if they did, there's nothing you can do about
but
it
you
anyways,
can.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just move on. Mm-hmm. I always think to know me is to love me, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you just, you know, just rehearse that. It might help.
Yeah, yeah.
I think sometimes if you talk to the person in charge ahead of time, mm-hmm. and let them know, just like I even do with you, you know, mm-hmm. I don't do this, but I will do that.
Right.
And if people know their gifts and their boundaries.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you are very good at boundaries.
I am very good at boundaries.
You are very good at boundaries. You're the best. You just whip us into shape and say, yep, I'll do this, I'll do that. I won't do this, I won't do that.
Yeah.
I don't do this. You're amazing.
Well, you remember my testimony. I laid in bed, I learned.
Yeah.
I'm not going back there.
And I respect that in you.
Thank you.
I love it. I love a boundary person.
Yeah.
You know?
Good.
See?
Now, and yeah. I think the people that you worry about, really, by and large, mm-hmm. 9/10 of them, really love it if they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
If you when I travel, I didn't go out to dinner after. Preachers all
right.
eat after the meal. I mean, after the service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's late. At 10
yeah.
o'clock, you're out ordering, you know. And I finally had to just come to a place and say, no, I can't do it.
Right.
And I got to a place where I was old enough to get by with
yeah.
saying that.
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of getting older.
Yeah.
I love it. When you're older, you can get away with saying so
really
many things.
Do.
Yeah, and you don't really care anymore what people think. The older you get, that's all you need is another 10 years
okay.
of your life. And, no.
I could loan you 10.
Okay.
Listen,
you want
we've got
little?
Some questions
okay.
that have probably come in by now.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just maybe check the feed on there and
okay.
see if... Because we really appreciate the viewers' questions and want to hear your heart and want to know what's on your mind because you might have issues that we haven't addressed yet. So is there anything there, Shirley, that's
okay. Let me see if I can understand this question. This says, how do I determine that I am submitting to man out God? Sometimes
that.
Okay, sometimes there's a fine line. When I am under authority and I'm asked to do something that I think is contrary to the Lord is asking me, what should I do?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
That is a good question.
And I don't think they're going to like my answer, so you want to give one?
No, you go ahead, because I'm
do
a bit
it.
Stumped.
If you're under authority and you're asked to do something that you don't think God asks you to do, you do it as under the Lord, under authority. Then you may have an opportunity to your authority later to say, I want that direction because you, but I, because otherwise you get into real sticky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more spiritual than my headship mm-hmm. and my authority,
mm-hmm.
and just pray that the Lord will direct your authority to see the same thing that
mm-hmm.
you're longing. But on the immediacy of it, you obey.
Now, if your authority told you to do something illegal, then you wouldn't do it, right? That would be different.
Yeah, of course.
You know what? I totally wholeheartedly agree with what you've said because I remember years ago, my mentor and my overseer proposed something to me that I wasn't feeling that the Lord was leading in that direction. And so I humbly submitted. I said, now this is what I think God is saying. And she said, no, this is it. So I said, okay, I'm gonna obey you. I'm going to do what you said. Now it turned out God worked the whole thing around, which was amazing the way he worked it around. But it made me feel good because it's not your pressure anymore. It's not your pressure anymore.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing it because you're under authority, so that can help. But I want to say this though: if you're in a situation where you're in a place where your immediate authority all the time is asking you to do things that the Lord is not endorsing you to do, I think you're in the wrong position and with the wrong authority. I would say take a bold step of faith and, you know, ask the Lord to give you some wisdom on that, because it could be he wants you to step down and try and go somewhere else, because there should be harmony and respect between you and the authority that you're serving. However, in the case of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, and there were some things there that, you know, had to be worked on a little bit. But, you know, pray about that, because you can't, on the long term, you can't just constantly live with the grind of knowing that you're always violating your own conscience on things or the leading of the Lord. I think that something might have to be done
that,
about that.
That it's not a violation, too. Especially we older ones, and I guess I'll be honest and say, especially we older women, we think we know what we know because we've had some experience. And there are many young pastors. I have sat under many. My pastor now is young enough to be my son. He's wise too. But I've sat under young pastors that they would take a scripture and butcher it, and I think, oh, you know, let not your heart be troubled doesn't say, everyone who has heart trouble, come forward. And those are difficult things, you know, and you want to correct them. Be very careful, because that's your authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we do is pray for insight and revelation and truth to come, and let people grow up.
Right. That's really good.
Yeah, that's good.
And then don't let those things stress you.
Right.
Like, so what if there's an altar call for people whose heart was troubled? At least they're whole.
That's
now.
That's right. I am the Lord thy God, and ye are
ye
not.
Ye are not. Okay, here's a good one. Can burnout be confused with hormonal issues?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And chemical, you know, body chemistry, for sure. Because once something goes off, like if you're adrenals are stressed, and I know this from something, from a recent report from my physician, is that if the adrenals go off, it can misfire other things as well, right? So one can trigger another. So let's say that you've got a hormonal issue that's causing stress on the adrenals that then can cause stress on your heart, that then can cause stress on other things, and it can start with a hormonal thing, or that the hormonal or chemical imbalance can start with the adrenals going off. It can work one against another. The lesson in that is get some good nutrition and get some good advice for the physical body, because this is our temple. We have to look after it as well.
Go to a doctor and find out what's wrong. Don't start drinking a lot of cow juice just because somebody said it's really going to make you feel good. Don't take the pill, you know, until you know.
Exactly.
This one's, I'm going to just paraphrase this because it's quite long. This woman wants to know, I recognize that my husband is in severe burnout, and I've addressed it to him several times, which only agitates him more. Besides praying, what else can I do?
Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love him out of the need to be gone and busy and do and so on. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Make that marriage just so strong and stop nagging.
That's
it doesn't until, help to have people
until
tell
a person comes to their own realization, they're not going to change because they can't hear it or see it, especially burnout, because you actually don't feel you're in it. If you've never experienced one before, you have nothing to gauge it by. So leading up to it, you
it's
don't even see it anyways.
More stressed to be told all the time.
When they crash and burn, then you can look after them.
Yeah. Love, love, love.
Okay, so let me see. Now I've just lost my email, so you guys can talk while I find this.
Okay, well, we've got time for maybe about one more. Okay. Question for now, and then we should pray.
Okay. You mentioned that diet is important to avoid burnout. What types of things are best to eat to help avoid burnout?
Well, I think just eating healthy foods. Like, if you're going to eat a lot of bad food for your body, like a lot of sugar, a lot of fats, a lot of, you know, stuff that is fast food, things full of chemicals and stuff like that, obviously that's going to affect the well-being of your overall body. Mm-hmm. Your body needs good nutrition to function well. Your adrenals need good nutrition. So if you eat good foods, your body will have a better chance of functioning well for you. And if that's your habit, you know, of getting good exercise, nutrition, and rest, then chances are that it'll minimize the opportunity for you to walk into burnout. And so it could be any good healthy food.
Yeah, and I would like to sort of just say to watch any, like, changes in your diet or whether, you know, a lot of people use a lot of different things for comfort. They'll eat ice cream for a lot, and then,
especially when you're stressed.
Right, when you're stressed, and then it that only increases your anxiety because you're gaining weight, or you know, mm-hmm. you're clogging
that's
your arteries.
That's so good.
So you know that's really important, and especially like any sort of substance abuse or any kind of leaning towards maybe I just need to take this to pep me up. Mm-hmm. Or I need to, you know, then you got to pep up on this, and then you got to come down on this. And, I mean, that is, like, really dangerous. And so really examine that part. I recommend chamomile tea because it puts you out like that.
Yeah, but chamomile has really worked for you. Yeah. And there's a lot of good essential oils mm-hmm. today, too, that, mm-hmm. like lavender.
Yeah,
it's very soothing and relaxing. Yeah. And mm-hmm. having a good lavender bath and oil yourself a bit when you sleep, it helps. It actually does.
Helps everybody around you, too.
It does. Nice massages once in a while helps, too.
That's true. Massage is good because the stress gets built up in your muscles, and then mm-hmm. it affects every other part of you. So there's lots of great physical things you can do. I think I mentioned earlier, just going for a 15, 20 minute walk, a brisk walk every day too, helps get the stress out. Get out in the sunshine. We have a course called Power Weight Loss and Rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. It's a course the Lord gave me a couple of years ago now. And he said, the devil is out to destroy people's health. Mm-hmm. And if their health is destroyed, it can destroy their well-being, their ministry, everything. And he showed me how there's so many chemicals in the food and you know, just all the fast foods with the hormones and the antibiotics and all that kind of stuff. And so he gave me a program, and it involves just practical things of caring for your body, fresh air, sunshine, some good massage, detoxing, getting all the toxins out of your system. All those things will help keep you from burnout and will help you if you're in burnout. Mm-hmm. I do have a word of knowledge that I want to bring as we close right now. We're going to pray for all of you. But there's someone here, as Shirley was mentioning, about the drug cycle. Wow. There's someone that is watching this that you're in that cycle. And you are medicating yourself to help yourself pep up when you need the pep and to relax when it's just out of control. And it's like, it's not good. There's someone watching that's on diet pills as well, and you're getting the energy from that you think that you need, and you're trying to curb the appetite, and it's just backfiring on every side. Come on, receive a miracle right now. I've got faith for a miracle. Yeah. I can feel it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just break the power of that cycle right now. I break the power of the addiction cycle, and you might not even realize it's become addictive, but it has. Mm-hmm. And I break the cycle of that in your life right now. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ, I render it powerless and ineffective against you. And Lord, I pray for peace to come on that person. Yes. I shared with a friend of mine a little while ago who was suffering from a health issue. And during his recovery, he needed to take a lot of pretty heavy painkillers. He became dependent on them. And he was sharing it with me. I said, you know, as hard as this is to hear, you've got to bite the bullet and get over that. Mm-hmm. Just go through the withdrawal, whatever you have to do to get off of it. But you you have to do it. And I'd say that to you too. Whatever you have to do, do it. You do not want to live. It'll just get worse if you continue to live in that cycle. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, let's all of us look in the camera over mm-hmm. here, and we'll just stretch our hands out to all of you that are watching right now, mm-hmm. that you be ministered to in the midst of burnout, if you're in it, that God's peace will come, His power will come upon you right now,
yes.
and heal and strengthen your adrenal glands, yes. and strengthen the cortisol production in the name of Jesus Christ, and that there will be peace to your mm-hmm. soul, peace mm-hmm. to your emotion, peace to your mind, and that He would grant you wisdom mm-hmm. on what to do about your schedule, what to do about the pressures around
do
you
that, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, that you would come into His rest mm-hmm. and that all the worry would lift off you now in the name of Jesus Christ, and that the keys for your freedom would come in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I'm just feeling right now that someone has felt, in fact, you're quite weepy right now. It's because of shame. That you've been feeling ashamed because you haven't been making the mark. And God doesn't want you to feel that shame. He doesn't want you to wear that shame. Mm-mm. There's no shame or blame in Him. He just mm-hmm. wants you free. So just let that lift off, and don't be afraid to be open and vulnerable and to let people know that you need some help. Amen. Shirley, Amen. Do you want to share anything in closing?
I would just say... Spend time with Him. Spend time in His Word. Mm-hmm. The Word always brings a balance to your situation, and it gives you a real good, solid ground to stand on. And don't necessarily always trust your feelings.
There you go.
Stand on your faith. I've noticed that has so grounded me in the past. And He really study out the Scripture, "My burden is light," and take that straw off your back, because
so
God loves you. He has a plan for you. And just one thing to add is that the Lord showed me, He shows me a lot of scenarios in the Spirit, and He showed me that if the devil can't tempt you, if he can't get you to sin, if he can't get you to give up, he'll actually push you beyond where you're supposed to go.
So
okay,
true.
Just push them beyond and set their target a little bit too high, because this one you can't tempt, you can't get to them, but you can push them over the limit. Mm-hmm. And take a look at that too, but just talk to Him. He's the one that will keep you safe.
So good, Shirley.
Don't forget to laugh. Laughing is good. Yeah. Sometimes we get so serious and mm-hmm. we become almost stern, but you know, every praiser knows it has to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult in the midst of all the pressures of life, and I have the same pressures you do, to just stop and say, "God, you're so good. Jesus, you carried this whole thing. You took all my shame. You took my sin. You took my sorrow. What problems do I have?" And seven of the kids are running around to remind you of the problems you have. But Jesus says, if you lift yourself, mm-hmm. lift your eyes under the hills. And then David did, and he said, "Wow, from whence cometh my help? It comes from the Lord." So live, love, and laugh a lot.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this webinar, and I trust that some of the insights have been helpful for you. I know the Lord is with you. And I guess to wrap it all up, that we would want to be reminded once again that God loves you with an everlasting mm-hmm. love. He really, really does. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.